Let me start by saying once again, good morning, everyone. Good morning, all the children around with us and wives and husbands and all our brothers and sisters around. You're all welcome this morning. My sermon this morning is going to be in Psalm 128, and we will focus on those six verses that Kohath has just read for us. And also keep in mind the passage that Brother Titus read in Ephesians chapter 5, 21, 6 to 4. Well done. We've made a long journey already through the Pilgrim Psalms. You know, we are now dealing with 128 this morning. Please be focused as we go through this passage together. Let me pray for us shortly, and then we will go through Psalm 128. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much that you can bring us together as families this morning. You know, brothers and sisters together, and also our children with us. Lord, thank you so much for that privilege that we have this morning. We pray that, God, you will show us where the true blessing is, and then you'll bless our families, you bless the labor of our hands, and Lord, you give me clarity of thoughts as I deliver your word, and you also help each one of us to be attentive as we listen to your holy word. All these things we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Please keep your Bibles open just in Psalm 128 and those six verses that we're going to look at this morning. The title of my sermon is The Blessed Life Under God's Hand. The Blessed Life Under God's Hand. And the theme that I want us to go through this morning is that true happiness is found in reverent obedience. True happiness is found in reverent obedience. When we work, family and community flourish under the fear of the Lord. Let me say it once again. True happiness is found in reverent obedience. And I mean, when we work, when we have our work, manual work that we do, or whatever work we do, family, because we families around, and community, when they flourish under the fear of the Lord. That's what the theme of the sermon is all about. Let me start by asking you this question. I'm sure all of you know that this week, this coming week, is going to be Christmas. Do you know that, right? Christmas is on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. It's on Thursday this week. And I want to ask us a question, is that what does it mean to be blessed? Especially during Christmas season, what does it mean to be blessed? Because the word blessed is going to be on the lips of so many people during this season of Christmas. Because we know as Christmas approaches on Thursday, the word blessed is everywhere. People want to be blessed. And people want to bless other people as well during the season of Christmas. Now, people speak of the blessed Christmas during this week, especially during this season. What does it mean? What's the meaning when they talk about blessed Christmas? You know, when you go there and you tell your friends or maybe your neighbors around to say, we've had a very blessed Christmas. What do you mean by blessed Christmas? Well, some people think it's a blessed Christmas because of the full table, because the table is full of food, you know. You've managed to put a lot on your table. There's an angry lion, or the best food that you enjoy is everywhere there. And then you go and brag and be proud of that and say, we've had a blessed Christmas because of full table. Some people, it's about new clothes, you know. I remember when we were growing up, dressing up, you know, well, is on Christmas and New Year, you know. And many of us, they think a blessed Christmas is about new clothes. Because if you don't buy and provide new clothes for our children, they will be angry at us. Most of them would say, my Christmas was not a blessed one. Why? Because my mother did not buy for me new clothes. My dad did not buy for me new clothes. Because that's what we think. We think a blessed Christmas, a Christmas has to do with new clothes, right? And some people, it's about travel. Plans that succeed. You make some plans to travel from one place to another. You know, that's what a blessed Christmas. Because when we ask you, did you have a blessed Christmas? You said, no. Why? I didn't go anywhere. I was just at home, you know. I didn't travel. I didn't go to see my grandma or my uncles or anything like that. Because that's what we think about blessed. We think in terms of traveling to places and so forth and so on. Some also, they think about children smiling, because my children were smiling all over the place. And this means that our Christmas was a blessed one. Or sometimes is enough money to survive January, because January is just around the corner, right? Your blessed Christmas, you might think, is blessed because we've got enough money and we can even survive in January. In Lusaka, especially December, can feel especially heavy. You can attest to that. You know, when it's December and we are just approaching Christmas and we are approaching New Year, you will agree with me that expectations, they rise up. Expenses increase. And then people begin to compare. There's what we call comparison, multiply. You begin to compare yourself with the neighbors around. You begin to compare yourself with the children of your aunt or your uncles. The comparison, they actually multiply. And many of us in December, especially in Lusaka, quietly, they even wonder whether they have failed the year. The year has been failed or completely. But did you notice that Psalm 128 begins with the word blessed, right? Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Blessed is everyone who walks in his ways. You know, we want to see what Psalm 128 has to teach us about what it means to be blessed. Whether it's about having something full on the table, whether it's about the making travel plans, whether it's about having new clothes or something like that, or maybe enough money. Sometimes we may think in those lines. What does it truly mean to be blessed? Especially at Christmas. So Psalm 128, you can see, gives us a God's answer. God has got an answer for that question. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean? And God has got an answer, and we want to follow the answer of God, which has got nothing to do with having a lot of food on the table or travel expenses. What does it mean to be blessed? So that when you go out there, you'll be able to tell your neighbors around that, I've had a blessed Christmas or a blessed day. What does it mean to be blessed? This Psalm 128 was actually sung by ordinary families. Ordinary families. Not families that live in expensive areas like New Kasama or State Lodge or whatever. Kumayadi, Mayadi. Okay? So those who were singing Psalm 128 were just ordinary families on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Not wealthy, elite. Not kings, no, but farmers. Those who were singing Psalm 128 were just farmers, craftsmen, parents, and worshippers. You see? So what does that mean? It tells us that blessing is not found in excess, but in life which is ordered under the fear of the Lord. That's what Psalm 128 is going to tell us this morning. Because it's surprising, right? You expected Psalm 128 to be sung by the elite. Because those are the people we think are the blessed ones. We expected Psalm 128 to be sung by people who live in those expensive or fancy areas of life, you see? Why? Because those are the people we think are the blessed ones. Okay? But wamine wanapangika pangika in Lusaka. Those are the things we think are the people that we think could have been the people, the right people to sing 128. But it's very surprising that 128 Psalm, which is talking about blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, blessed is everyone who walks in his ways, this song was not sung by the elite, wealthy elite, or not even the kings, but by just farmers. Farmers, craftsmen, parents, and worshippers. And I'm from telling you to say, it tells us to say, blessing is not found in excess or kumayad, or just because I live in Kablonga or I live in Ibex Eel or State Lodge or these other good places we have in Lusaka. Blessing is not found in excess, but blessing is found in life that is ordered under the fear of the Lord. If your life is not ordered under the fear of the Lord, it's not a blessed life. It is not. This is what Psalm 128 is going to tell us this morning. And Christmas confirmed this truth. I'm sure you will agree with me. Because God did not announce blessing through palaces. You know, it was not through the palaces or wealthy or power, but through a child laid in a feeding trough. Psalm 128 teaches us the same lesson that we are going to look at this morning. That true blessing is not having more. True blessing is not having more and more and more, but is living under God, is living under the fear of God. That's what true happiness is all about. True happiness is about living under God's rule. And this is the main idea I want to share with us this morning. The main idea is that the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord orders life under God's grace. So your life is going to be ordered, you know, by the fear of the Lord under God's grace. So that work, whatever work you do, whatever work you do, it doesn't matter how much you get. Some of us are teachers, some of us are professors, some of you are doing small business. You know, you buy certain things in Kamwala, you go and resell. Some of you, whatever business you do, whatever work that you do. So the main idea of the passage is that your work is enjoyed. It doesn't matter what work you do. And the families are nurtured and peace extend beyond us to generation yet to come. That's the main idea of Psalm 128. Let me read it once again. The fear of the Lord orders life under God's grace so that work is enjoyed, families are nurtured, and peace extends beyond us to generations yet to come. Those of you who were with us last week, Sunday, you remember that Psalm 127 ended by emphasizing that life is vain without Yahweh's involvement. When God is not part of your life, is not involved in everything you do, your life is void, is empty, is in vain. That's what we saw in Psalm 127 last week, right? Psalm 128 this morning now shows what life looks like with his involvement. When God is now part of your life, how your life is going to look like? It is going to be ordered, it's going to be fruitful, and it's going to be flourishing. When God is part of your life is going to be fruitful and flourishing and ordered. So Psalm 127, again, just as a way of reminding ourselves, warns us against godless striving. You strive, you work very hard godlessly without the fear of the Lord. You try by all means to help your family survive the pressure of life in Lusaka and so forth and so on. And it tells us that that kind of life is godless. But Psalm 128 shows us godly walking. Okay, Psalm 127 humbles our efforts. Because no matter how you try with your efforts, you know, they become, you know, vain and empty. It humbles us altogether in Psalm 127. But Psalm 128 dignifies obedience. Okay? One teaches us dependence on grace. You know, the other shows us what grace produces. Your Bibles are open, right? You can agree with me that the song that we are looking at is structured. It has got three stanzas. Did you notice that? Three stanzas. And the first stanza is from verse 1 and 2. That's the first stanza. And then on the first stanza, we are going to look at what I call personal blessing. The personal blessing, verse 1 and 2. That's the first movement, which takes verse 1 and verse 2. And verse 3, you can see, and verse 4, is the second stanza. And that moves a little bit, and it's going to tell us about the family blessing. From personal blessing, verse 1 and 2, then verse 3 and 4, family blessing. And then verse 5 and 6, it tells us the national blessing, or if you like, covenantal blessing. So we have three movements in Psalm 128, and they are all talking about what it means to be blessed at different levels of life. What does it mean to be a blessed person at personal level? You know, personal blessing. What does it mean to be blessed at a family level? Family blessing. What does it mean to be blessed at a national level? Covenantal or national blessing. Let's start with the first one. Have a look in your Bible. The first one is what we call personal blessing. Personal blessing. Verses 1 and verse 2. Do you have your Bibles open? Yes. Look at verse 1. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. In other words, who fears Yahweh. And blessed is everyone who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. That's the first stanza, which is emphasizing a personal blessing. Where does a blessing come from? You know, blessed is not just everyone. According to God, the blessing, true blessing, is for those who fear the Lord. Everyone who fears the Lord is a blessed one. And everyone who walks in the ways of the Lord is a blessed one. And I want us to observe the first thing here is the fear of the Lord, how it is being defined in Psalm 128. Fear of the Lord. When we say fear the Lord, what does that mean? Because the blessing goes to everyone who fears the Lord. It doesn't matter whether that everyone is a person, an elite person in the society. It doesn't matter whether this everyone is someone who lives in a compound or Ankala Kumayadi. It doesn't matter where you stay. It doesn't matter the age, whether you are a young one or it doesn't matter, as long as you are the one who fears the Lord, you are the blessed one. That's what it tells us. And what does it mean to fear the Lord, you see? To fear the Lord is not terror. It's not fear does not mean terror, okay? Or it's something to do with you are afraid or scared of being punished by God. What do you mean you fear them? Maybe you fear that fear kind of terror. It's not what the Bible is talking about here. The fear of the Lord here is that reverence, the reverence that you give to God. It's about the reverent awe, you know, that you give to God. A heart that trusts, loves, and obeys God. That's what it means to fear the Lord. And this, it doesn't matter whether you are a child seated here or you are an adult. It doesn't matter where you stay. It doesn't matter. As long as you've got a heart that trusts God, the heart that is there to love the Lord and to obey, that's what it means to fear the Lord. It's not a fear of terror. It's reverence that you give to God and awe. And you are the blessed one. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord. You are the blessed one. You know, it is the moral atmosphere of the covenant community we see here. That's what it means to fear the Lord. That atmosphere that you belong to the covenant people of God. We praise God that in the covenant community, we don't only have adults. Even our children, our young ones, they are part and parcel of the covenant community of the people of God. That atmosphere is what it means to be part of those who fear the Lord. So this language of fear the Lord, I'm sure you'll agree, that it places Psalm 128 firmly within Israel wisdom tradition. Because you can remember, like Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us about the blessing as well. In Proverbs chapter 1 as well, it tells us about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, when you get to the book of Ecclesiastes, you see again, it's talking about fear the Lord. So it's for this reason, Psalm 128 is part of what we call wisdom literature. It teaches that the good life, you want to enjoy a good life, is not an accidental thing, but is ordered under God's rule. You know, all of us here, we want a good life, isn't it? Good life is not what you think all about. You may think about living in an expensive area or something, or having new clothes or anything like that. But good life is actually nothing accidental that you just bump into it. No. Good life, it is life that is ordered under God's rule. Your life should be under the rule of God for you to enjoy the good life from God's perspective. The fear of the Lord is not merely the beginning of wisdom. No. Did you see in your Bible? It says, blessed is the one who fears the Lord. And the second line says, everyone who walks. You know, walking is not, it's a movement. You don't walk while standing. You know, walk, when you say, it's a motion. Walking is someone is moving from one place to another. You are walking, okay? So it's not just something which is the beginning of wisdom. It's the pathway of blessing. It is a pathway of blessing altogether. You see, the fear of the Lord is not merely beginning of, but it's a path. It's what we walk. That's what the word walking means. The blessed person in Lusaka today, or this morning, or this season of Christmas, according to Psalm 128, is the one who walks in the ways of God. Walking in the ways of God. You see? And the way to walk, they suggest ongoing consistency, a consistent conduct of obedience, a lifestyle, not a moment. That is your lifestyle of always fearing the word. The word of God. It's not a moment. It's not just out of excitement, kusamwa chabe on one day. No. A blessed person is the one who's consistent. And the problem that we all have, including myself, is consistency. Many of us are not consistent. You may do something today, tomorrow you don't want to do it. It's that consistent conduct, you know, a conduct that is very consistent, that is ongoing. It's like a walk. Obedience becomes as a lifestyle, not a moment. This is what it means for those who are blessed. One, everyone who walks in the Lord. Blessing does not come by accident, brothers and sisters. As you pray, you look for amapalo and so forth and so on. It doesn't come by accident. It's not something accidental, not at all. You know, it is an alignment. You align yourself under the rule of God. It becomes your lifestyle altogether. Blessed is the one who walks in the ways of God. Okay? You know, to walk in his ways, in the ways of God, means integrating faith and Christian principles into everything you do in life. Let me say that again. Well, that's what it says. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Blessed is everyone who walks in the ways of God. In his ways. To walk in the ways of the Lord, it means you integrate your faith into everything you do. If you are a businessman, if you are a businesswoman, you integrate your Christian principles and values in everything you do. In your business, you don't cheat, you don't lie, because you are a Christian. You know, even if you are working under, you know, a boss who is very harsh, you know, you don't steal. Because you are a believer at a place of work. You integrate your Christian values and your Christian principles at your place of work in everything you do. That's what it means to walk in his ways. Everything you do, if you are a pupil at any school, you don't lose your head and join what every girl is doing, what every boy is doing. Because nowadays, that's what is going. I'm sure you saw the statistics of the rise of HIV and AIDS in Zambia. I'm sure some of you read, you know, it is unfortunate that those who are on top in Zambia, unfortunately, they are girls. Young girls who are in school. 14 years, 15 years, 16 years are the ones who are on top. Now, to walk in the ways of God as a girl or a boy in school is to integrate your Christian values and principles, even at school. You don't join the group of bully people at school. When you are in church, you come and sing, but at school you are a bully. Everybody knows you by that. No, that's not what it means to walk in the ways of God. To walk in the ways of God is in everything you do, in your speech, how you speak to your teachers, how you speak to elderly people on a bus, how you, in everything you do, you integrate your Christian values and your Christian principles. That's what it means to walk in his ways. You are a believer not only on Sunday morning. You are a believer on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. In everything, in your speech, we need to see your faith coming. In the relationships that you have with people around. relationship with your husband, relationship with your children, relationship with the neighbors around, relationship with your boss, relationship with everyone around you. You integrate your Christian values. You don't become just a caponia, yeah, from Monday to Friday, and then Sunday you are on a suit like me, you come and preach. No. Everywhere you go, that's what it means to walk. And blessed is the one who walks in the ways of God. People should know you on a bus that you are a believer. People should know you at a place of work that you are a Christian. People should know you in class that you are a Christian. And because you integrate your Christian values everywhere you go, even at the marketplace, when you are doing your business, whatever you do, you are a believer. That's what it means to walk in the ways of God. Blessed is everyone. That's the first thing I want you to observe under the personal blessing. Those who are blessed, brothers and sisters, are the ones who fear the Lord. Those who are experiencing true happiness are the ones who walk ongoing conduct. You know, they walk all the time in the ways of God. That's what it means. But I want you to look at the second part of that stanza one. Did you notice what it says? It says, they will eat the fruit of their labor. Did you see that? In chapter 128 and the second part, verse 2. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed and shall be well with you. Who is this one who is going to eat the fruits of the labor of his hand? He's a blessed person. Who is he? Who is she is going to enjoy and eat the fruit of the labor of his hand? Is a person who walks in the ways of God. Now the second part tells us that she's going to eat the fruit of the labor. That's verse 2. You know what it means? Whatever work you do, whether your business is in town, you know, in good places, or in Kablongo, in a complex, in a mall, or maybe in the market, Shabe, Muguri, Sakapena, Tomato, or Malasha, or anything, whatever you do, because you're a blessed person, God tells us to say, the fruit of the labor of your hand, you are going to eat. You know what it means to eat? You're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it. God is going to give you satisfaction and fulfillment. You know, you don't need to have a lot to be satisfied. Let me tell you the truth. Don't think people have got a lot of money, they are satisfied. Mm-mm. To be satisfied with what you have is a blessing. It's a blessing. Not everyone is actually fulfilled with what they have. No. So God is going to reward you. So the reward that God is going to give everyone who's blessed, everyone who walks according to the ways of God, God is going to reward them not with luxury. You know what God is going to reward you? With satisfaction. You'll be satisfied with the fruit of your labor. You know, don't panic and don't take for granted what I call your hustle. Because I know many of us in Christ Lusaka, we hustle. Whatever you do, you hustle and so forth and so on. God is going to bless, is blessing you. What is it? Is he going to reward you with? Not luxury. Not living in a luxury life. No. It's going to give you satisfaction. You shall eat the fruits of the labor of your hands. You know, we are living in a world, you believe me, this world is a world that is full of anxiety. People are anxious. Very anxious and worried about the future of life. How am I going to survive tomorrow? It's full of anxious. Not only anxious, the world we are in is also full of greed. People accumulate and accumulate, they are not satisfied. They get more wealth and more wealth, but they are not satisfied. Friend, you know that in a world like this, when you get satisfied with the little that God gives you, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. That's what God does. God rewards his people. A person who's a blessed one, God makes them enjoy with satisfaction the fruit of the labor of their hands. It doesn't matter whether you sell malasha, olokapena, usebenza somewhere, kumayadi, whatever hustle you have, because you are the blessed person, God is going to make you feel satisfied with the bread that you put on the table. That's what it means to be blessed. There are so many wealthy people in Lusaka, they suffer because they are more anxious you know, and they are more greed. They don't get satisfaction and fulfillment in whatever they get. Some of them, their hustle is dirty. It's not a good hustle at all. I always remember many years back when my sister-in-law passed on, the elder sister to my wife, and I was assigned to go in the mortuary of UTH to go and identify the body so that the morning when the burial came, so that the ladies would be able to go and prepare the body for burial. And when I went to UTH, it was around midnight to 01, you know, when we got there. No, going inside there, we found a commotion outside there. A gentleman with a very good Pajero, those days, a very good Pajero, parked outside of the mortuary, and he was apprehended by the police because they found him ready-handed, sleeping with a dead body. And even the mortuary attendant was also involved, because that's what they do. Whenever you hear that there's an accident happening, you know, when there's what they call brought in dead, when someone has been involved in, not, they don't sleep with just anyone. These guys who are into rituals, they don't just sleep with any dead. They sleep with those who are fresh. I mean, wafa manje manje. Akari fresh, tupi kari fresh, fresh maybe, especially if there's a road accident. Kumankala ni business kumochari. Kamvila cheku di accident pa, vena ngo wafa. Uweja wako mochari ambotuma mafoni, my clients like bariku, brought in dead. You know, and there are people who rush there. I found that guy in a very good suit like me, and then a very good Pajero parked out there. He has been picked by the police because he was on top of a dead body that was just brought in the mortuary. Why? For rituals and for money. Are these people going to enjoy the fruit of their labor? No. No. People get debt money in many ways. Some they cheat. Some they have to kick other people. Some they have to step on people's toes and so forth and so on. But you remember this morning, Psalm 128 is reminding us that God, at your personal level, is going to reward all those who are blessed with eating the fruit of the labor of their hands. What does that mean? It means enjoying. Even during this Christmas, you don't need to have a chicken or anything like that. Ah, whatever the Lord puts on the table, but you eat that with fulfillment. That is a blessing. Not everyone in Lusaka, believe you me, is satisfied with what they get. Not everyone. Even those who have got so much that you envy them, they actually envy you. Why? Because God does not reward them with satisfaction. They are greed. They are still trying to get more and more. Bless the Lord. You must be very thankful. Because God is going to reward you, not with luxury life, but just with satisfaction and fulfillment. Amen. Very important to remember that the fruit of our labor is a miracle. The psalmist pictures a worker enjoying his meal with no guilt, with no fear. Do you know there are people who are they are guilty? You know, this person who has been picked kumochari and then is somewhere maybe at East Park Mall or anything, those good restaurants, maybe Nando's or something. Do you think they eat those food with joy? No. No. With guilt, they are guilt, and some of them are even afraid. What if somebody comes there because it's stolen money? It's a produce of crime and so forth and so on. They get them without enjoying them. But God blesses you with food on the table. You eat without guilt. You eat without fear. That's a blessing. That's what the Bible says. You shall eat, then enjoy the fruits of your labor. That's a blessing from God. Hard work under God's favor brings peace. Work very hard, and God is going to give you the favor. Hard work without him brings restlessness. We know that Christ himself, you know, through Jesus Christ, we found ultimate rest. Now at Christmas, as we go through the season, we remember that the Son of God did not enter the world as a ruler, but as the son of a carpenter. Jesus was the son of the carpenter. He was the firstborn in his family. He was the one who was given the skills of that trade. You know, he was a carpenter himself. He worked very hard and enjoying the fruit of the labor of his hands. So God bless all our work that we do. By the way, you know that God gave work way before chapter 3. Because work is not something that came as a result of sin. No, work was a blessing that God has given us. So do not undermine the hustle you have. Don't. Whatever work you do, those of you who are selling whatever you are selling, you don't just work very hard and under God's favor and put a food on the table without guilt, without fear. That's a blessing that God is going to do for each one of us. Before his hand, we talk about Jesus Christ, before his hand were pierced, they were cursed. Before he fed the multitude of people, he learned the work with wood. Jesus was a worker. I'm here to encourage all of us to work very hard. Don't take work as a curse. No. It's a blessing. So Psalm 128 says, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Christmas tells us that God himself honored ordinary work by sharing it. He sanctifies our labor so that even ordinary work becomes worship. That's the first thing we see, the personal blessing. And God blesses the work of our hands. Now, from personal piety and provision, the psalmist moves now to the second stanza, to the home, the first circle where faith bears visible fruit. And this is very intentional. Where does your blessing as a person flows first? It goes to the family. It is family first. Look at the second stanza now is talking about family blessing. The first one is about personal blessing, verse 1 and 2. And the second blessing is a family blessing. Look at what the Bible says in verse 3. Your wife, you know, it's talking about this person who is a blessed person, who fears the Lord. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine without your house. Within your house. Your children is not the children of anyone. No, it's the children of the one who walks in the ways of God. It's the children of the one who fears the Lord. Here, Psalm 128 is very, very clear. It's not just talking about the wife of anyone. It's the wife of the person who fears the Lord. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. What about your children? Your children will be like an olive shoot around your table. And he goes on to say, behold, thou shalt the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Wow. So which means these blessings are not just for anyone. These blessings, they are family blessings given to the person who is a blessed person. The person who is a blessed is the one who fears the Lord, is a person who walks in the ways of God. And I want you to see the first focus here of the blessing when it comes to family. Did you notice the first focus? Who is in the first priority in the family? Wife, not knife. Wife. Unfortunately, you know, we tend to think that the first priority goes to the children. That's very wrong. And sometimes many of us who are into ministry, we tend to think that the focus should actually go to the church. No. For those of us who are into pastoral ministry, I'm sure you know, all our leaders here, that the first focus of area of ministry is your family. When you fail your family, you fail the church. So you cannot be very devoted to church and committed, and your family is starving somewhere there. You cannot say, no, I'm busy in visitation here and there, and it's Shtuya Mulungu, and so forth and so on. It's in your family first. And then when you get into the family, the first focus is not your pets. It's not your dogs that you look after. Because there are people who are actually addicted to things rather than to people. Many of us, sometimes we are addicted to phones. When you get into home, you're on your phone. Okay? There's a home I know of a friend of mine who has written in the dining room and the kitchen, this is a no-phone area. So once you get in the dining room and the kitchen, my phone's here and yours, your phone won't call, switched off. I think, Susan, can we do that? Zavutana. So that the focus should go not on our phones, but on people. You know, on people. Sometimes, these phones, the way they do, sometimes a couple, we can walk, Susan and I, sometimes, let's go and have a lunch, maybe at Nando's. Let's go. But you get at Nando's, husband and wife, you get there, the only time you speak to each other is to ask, Muzajacha? Muzajacha? Kwasila. After Paja, Alianza Alpafoni Yaki. You know? This is what we see. The Bible tells us your wife will be a fruitful vine. What does it mean to be a fruitful vine? A fruitful vine. Not all wives are fruitful vines. They are the wives of those who are blessed ones. The vine symbolizes joy. Your wife is not going to be your knife. Your wife will be a joy. A joy for you, not a burden. Vine means joy. It means beauty. It means fertility. You enjoy. You are proud of your wife. And that is only a miracle that God can do. It's a miracle that you enjoy the wife that God has given you. She becomes a blessing to you. She becomes a vine to you, you know, as a blessing. There are many people in their families where their wives are not the fruitful vine. They are not their joy and beauty and fertility. This is a picture. This picture is very domestic. You know, blessing flourishing within your house. You enjoy it. You know what the Bible says? And look at that verse once again. It says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Where? Where? Within your house. Now, the word within your house is not diminishing the worth and value of a woman or limiting just her calling into a house. Because that's what we think sometimes, that the calling of a woman is just in kunyumba chabe. Or maybe it's just the worth, the value of the woman in the kitchen. I hear, I even said it, and I'm sorry. I even said it myself yesterday when I was driving with Susan. Because what if we're driving here, parod. And then I also said something like, what's wrong with the kitchen here? Because that's what the bus drivers have taught us. Iwe, iwe. And the kitchen, iwe. Because that's what we think. We think that the worth and the value of a woman is just limited, kuti, just kunyumba. Because that's what people may think when the Bible says within your house, you may think it diminishes or the worth and the limitation of the calling of the woman is just kunyumba. No. In the ancient world, the household was a center of economic, spiritual, and relational life. This is why the Bible tells us that the wife of this person is blessed. It's going to be like a vine within your house, which means at the center of everything. When it comes to economic, to spiritual life and relational life, the wife is at the center. So you play a very big role. So when a woman is not a fruitful vine in your house, you are not blessed. Even if you've got a very powerful mattress, this is a trade. You must be a fruitful vine. You must be a fruitful vine so that you become a joy, a fruitful, you know, a beauty to the person that is actually blessed. This is an image which I like, centrality, not confinement. It doesn't mean that you as a woman, you are confined in a home. It means that the center of everything to do with economic, to flourish as a family, when the wife is not good, you will suffer. In terms of spiritual life, when the wife is not into that, you won't manage parenting. In terms of relationship there, so the wife is at the center of everything. And when you have a woman like that, who becomes to you like a fruitful vine, you are the blessed one. You are the blessed. Wherever you go, you are blessed because she becomes a center of the economic life. She becomes a center of how you do budgeting. When you have a woman, umutima ulichepa mwamba, afuno vala vose, vamene fashion, hili yonse mene boy, uzavutika. Any fashion that comes, she wants to be in there, your economic life will be unstable. But when you have a woman who has got a vision of the future, she becomes a blessing to you. Because you are the blessed one. She becomes a fruitful vine because she becomes your joy. She becomes the future which is going to be stable for you. It's a blessing from the Lord. You know, This is what Psalm 128 is telling us. A blessed person, God blesses them with good wives. And that's my prayer. You know, that's my prayer that if you are a blessed one, God, may God do that. We see that even on Christmas Day. So when we talk about fruitful vine, it suggests not excess, but vitality. Okay, and continuity. It's not just something to do with excess. No, the woman who is very vital and who is very good in keeping things continuing all the time. When the fear of the Lord governs a marriage, you know, love becomes fruitful. Susan, huh? Not fragile. Not your chikon changala chodon serera, chodon serera chabe. No. Love becomes fruitful. I'm speaking to married people here. That's why I'm looking into your eyes. May God bless you, you women, to become the fruitful vine. So faithfulness, tenderness, and mutual service are the vintage of godly home. But the Bible does not only say that in the family, but it goes also to children. You see? Look at verse 3. Children, they described as olive shoots. The woman is like a fruitful vine. What about the children of the blessed person? What about the children of the person who walks in the ways of God? What about the family of this guy in terms of children? The children, they are like olive shoot. What does it mean, olive shoot? You know, it's symbols of growth and endurance. You know, an olive tree takes years to mature, but yield fruit for centuries. Let me say this to parents. Those of you who are parents, I'm sure you know that parenting is really a tough calling. You will agree with me. All parents here, mothers and fathers, you will agree with me. It is not an easy calling. It is very tough. And for those of you who are joining parenting anytime soon, it is actually a very tough calling to guard and grow these children God has given us. Very tough. But God says your children, because you are a blessed one, they will be like an olive shoot. What does that mean? You know, it talks something to do with it will take time for them to grow. Olive trees, they take years and years to mature. But when they yield fruits for centuries. Parents, let me tell you this morning that those of you who nurture your children, you bring them, you nurture them in faith today, you are planting olive trees for future generations. Don't be discouraged. Our children, sometimes they discourage us in the way they behave and the way they portray themselves out there. You might think that you are just wasting time. Ask Ipongoma and Dynast. They've got an experience of promise. Those are the ones that can teach us. It's very tough. If you don't believe Pongoma and Dynast, ask Titus and Cetrida. They will tell you how they struggle to bring Theophilus. If you think that is not enough, ask Felix. Ask Felix and Agatha. They will tell you how parenting is tough. It's really tough because our children, sometimes the effort you put in the children, you think you've lost, you've wasted it altogether. And so forth and so on. You feel like you are wasting, you grow them. But remember, because you are the blessed person, you might not see the fruit today. They are olive shoots. You know, you are building. One day you'll be surprised. Just trust the Lord. Do your best as a parent. When it is evening, bring them together, pray. Amake Sali. You know, before you sleep, you just call Salifian, come, we pray together. You are trying to impart some kind of behavior in that particular child. Don't do this. Don't insult. Don't learn to say thank you, okay? Say thank you. Say thank you. Learn to say sorry, mommy. Sorry, mommy. Sorry, mommy. But they do the opposite all the time. They are olive shoots. And then sometimes you feel like, you try all the best and so forth, but the Bible tells us, don't be discouraged because you are the blessed one. Your children are like what? Like olive shoots. God is working behind the scenes. You'll be surprised in the future. Just carry on, pray with them, teach them. You know, when it comes to prayer meeting, bring them, read the scriptures all the time. Next week is Psalm 129. Say, Trita, bring your son closer. Let's read together. Sometimes Azaka na anifuna kugona, anifuna chari, because Theophilus may be tough at some points. But do it anyway, you know, modeling humility. Read the scriptures with them all the time. These children, sometimes when you invite them for prayer meeting and so forth, they refuse sometimes. It's very difficult. Watifuta. And they say, Susan, awavana manje, tiche na watatu watifuta so. They have four watifuta. Tika na five. I say, ni maoda tigulise chape. But we trust God. We labor with the children because we believe they are growing slowly. It's not waste. We are not wasting. They are growing slowly like olive shoot. They will endure. They will stand and they will remember one day. My mother used to tell me this. My dad used to tell me this. And you grow like that. I'm speaking to children who are here. You are like olive shoot. You must obey your parents. You must obey your parents. You must put a lot of effort in what they are telling you so that you may become the saviors of the future generation. Otherwise, you will mess up the future if you don't follow that. Olive shoots do not bear fruit immediately. No. That's the problem with us parents, because we want to see the fruit in Kohath immediately. We want to see the fruit in our children in Theophilus immediately. But they don't bear fruit immediately then. No, they take time. It requires years of patience and cultivation. Parents who are here, I'm telling you, without patience, you cannot manage parenting. You can't, ifuta. Because even you yourself, you were a problem to your mother and your dad. You yourself, as a father. Unavuta watate wako maningi. Ask Titus, knows this, what I'm talking about. We all did that. So it requires so much patience. So Felix, if you are not patient, you won't manage. You need to be very patient, because even your dad was like that. If he was alive today, we were going to ask him, Felix, the papa is prophesying, eh? So in the same way, raising children in the fear of the Lord is slow. It's raising children in the field. It's very slow. It's unseen work. Often, sometimes, it's very discouraging, but it produces fruit that can outlive our lives. So our children, they are like olive shoots. So the psalmist is very important. It's telling us that we widen everything as a family, and we see the blessing of God. Let me finish with the last one. Can you see how God is blessing? There's what we call a personal blessing, which goes in the family. And when the family, it goes to the fruitful vine, the wife, you know, and it goes to children. So wives who are here, my prayer is that God make you, especially for 2026, that you will be fruitful vines. And my prayer for our children here, they will definitely be really olive shoots. And that's the blessing we are looking for. The last one now is the blessing that goes to the nation, the covenantal blessing. Look at verse 5 and 6. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see the children's children. Peace be upon Israel. This psalm is very intentional. And I like it because it begins with a personal level of blessing which flows into the family first. And when it goes in the family, it locates the woman first as a fruitful vine. Then it goes to the children second as the olive shoot. And once the blessing is in the family, this family becomes a blessing to the nation. To the nation. So we have issues in Zambia as a nation because my family is here to Niovuta. You know, a broken nation is a result of broken families. You cannot actually go and stand and begin to say, you begin to complain about the children and the community and the society of so and so forth. The society which is broken, it is because the people in the society are coming from broken families. Families where the wife is not a fruitful vine. Families where the children are not olive shoots. These are the same children. These are the same children. In the future, they become cadres. These are the same children. In the future, they become ministers. You become a minister who is a cadre. I'm a kutivuta manje, in parliament. We need to save the nation of Zambia by saving the family. We need to work very hard at a personal level, then at family level, so that we can ensure that the community at large will be actually filled. That's what it says. May God bless, may God bring the prosperity of Jerusalem, the community now of Lusaka and everybody, and the days of life. May you see the children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Blessing from Zion, verse 5. Zion represents God dwelling, the center of worship and justice. The psalm teaches us that blessing flows outward from worship. Private piety without public worship is incomplete. God orders families through the gathered people of God. The influence we may have in Lusaka, in Zambia, we should start from our families. At personal level first, then with our families. Let's take our devotion seriously. I'm speaking to parents here. Take your family seriously, so seriously. Don't be an absent father. Muriko, munga si muriko. You are present there, but you're not available. You know, being present and being available are two different things altogether. But that's the one walikunyumba, but he's not there. Available for us, he's not there. We've got so many fathers and mothers who are not available for their children. We are not. We are failing the society altogether. May God help us. That's the blessing we are talking about. So the blessing flows from there. Society's renewal, brothers and sisters, begins not within parliament. No. If you think that parliament is going to change things, no. It begins in the presence of God. It's in the presence of God where we see everything. So the blessing flows from the God, from the presence of God. It goes to the work that you do. It goes to the family that you have. It goes into the nation altogether. At Christmas, we celebrate the fulfillment of the promises. We see that. The last thing you see in that verse, did you see that the blessing through generations? May God bless the children's children. Did you see that? Children, children. What does that mean? It's longevity and legacy. It's a legacy we leave behind. Tomorrow I'll die. Tomorrow you'll die. Tomorrow you'll be buried. But it's the legacy that we leave behind for generations and generation. It's what we call covenant fulfillment. May you see your children's children. This is not merely love span. Eh? No. It is influence. It's about influence. The influence that goes. Faith that is transmitted and that become, you know, not terminated. So what we do with our children today, you know, they will pass it on for generations. It's the influence we have. I don't want to die with bad influence. No, don't die with bad influence. Don't. You are a mother, God has given you a child. You are a father, God has given you children. Work hard with the grace of God so that those children will be the influencers positively of our nation in the future, even when you are not there. We don't want people to say, "Atate wanga sana seven, srashte virivons." Don't be a failure as a dad. Don't be a failure as a mother. May God give you grace for 2026 as we move on. So a grandparent watching grandchildren walk with Christ, what a joy. Our mission here at Christ Church Lusaka is generational, to hand down the gospel, you know, to people for years and years. Some end with the word shalom. Did you see that? Did you see that verse? It ends with the word peace. May we see the peace of Jerusalem. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God in every sphere of life. The final word is peace. Did you see that in Psalm 128? The final word is shalom, is peace. Gathers everything together. Work, the work that you do, your hustle, your family, your worship, your future, everything gathered under peace. Shalom is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. May God be present in the midst of everything we do. May God be present in your family. May God be present in your hustles, in everything that you do. May God be present in all that we do in our speeches. That's a blessing in the midst of everything we do. The secret of the blessed life is God. Finally, let me finish, brothers and sisters. Psalm 128 reveals that blessing is not random. It's not accidental. It's a favor. It's not a random favor, but it's a covenant faithfulness rewarded by God's grace. Fear God and enjoy your work. Fear God, brothers and sisters, and nurture your family. Fear God and strengthen community. The good life is a God-centered life. Those who walk in the fear of Yahweh will find that His joy seeps into every corner of their home and history. Here's a surprise. Jesus is a true blessed man, right? He's a true blessed man, fulfills Psalm 128 perfectly. And at Christmas, we see Jesus as a blessed man who comes and brings joy during our lives. This is my benediction. I know Titus has got his own benediction at the end of the sermon, but this is my benediction that I wish all of you are listening to this sermon. May Yahweh, who blesses those who fear Him, cause His peace to fill your home. His joy to crown your labor, and His presence to abide with your family from this time forth and forever. Amen.